From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the Biden Department of Justice continues to persecute former President Trump, and Bidenomics has led to a credit agency downgrade. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Thursday of this week, former President Trump was in Washington, D.C. as he was indicted for objecting to the results of the 2020 election. On its face, this is a very dangerous precedent. Joining FRC Action President and guest host Jody Heiss to talk about the indictment was Arizona Congresswoman Debbie Lesko. Here's Jody Heiss.
Congresswoman Lesko, great to see you. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's great to see you, Jody.
Well, thank you so much. And listen, y'all, you've got your hands full these days at home in the district there in Arizona as well as in D.C. So before we get to the border, and I do want to get to that, but I would love to just get your take on the latest indictment of former President Trump. What are your thoughts on the latest charges?
Well, I read through the entire indictment and then I read parts of it over again, and I was not impressed. I wasn't impressed at all. First of all, most of the indictment hinges on the allegation that they're making that Donald Trump knowingly claimed there was election fraud. And the way that Jack Smith, the special counsel, tries to prove that Donald Trump knew there wasn't election fraud was he lists off different people that told him there wasn't any evidence of election fraud. The problem with that is that there were other people, including Trump's own attorneys, that showed him evidence or told him there was election fraud. So I don't see any way that the Department of Justice can prove that Donald Trump knowingly made false claims of election fraud. I think that's the crux of their case, and I don't think they can prove it.
Well, and even these days, there are still a lot of people out there who are convinced there was election fraud. I mean, that is not like a made up out of the air type of accusation. There are millions of people who believe that as well. But former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, was on CNN yesterday. I don't know if you saw this or not, but she was asked about her response to Republicans who are talking about how the DOJ has become weaponized. And I'd like to play this clip for you, Congresswoman, and get your response. Play clip two, please.
The rule of law is central to a democracy. The fact that the former president was always attacking the rule of law in our country, and now these guys are parroting that. Shame on them. Shame on them.
So, look, is pointing out the politicalization and the weaponization of the DOJ attacking the rule of law?
No, absolutely not. In fact, it's actually happening. I mean, you can tell the difference between how they're going after President Trump and President Trump's allies and conservatives versus how they're not going after Hunter Biden or Joe Biden or investigating it. And that's, you know, the Devin Archer testimony was very telling because he said that Hunter Biden put his dad, then Vice President Joe Biden, on the phone with his business partner sitting around, you know, in business meetings over 20 times. And he said it was to influence these people with the brand, meaning the Biden brand. And then you go into the whole thing with Burisma Energy Company, where Hunter Biden was paid all kinds of money to be on the board of Burisma Energy Company. And then we have testimony that from Devin Archer saying that the owner and the executives of Burisma Energy Company were pushing Hunter Biden to get Washington, D.C., to get rid of this prosecutor that was going after the Burisma Energy Company for corruption. And guess what? Vice President Biden, on a televised interview, said, bragged about how he got rid of this prosecutor by threatening Ukraine not to give him grant money. And so he got rid of him. I mean, come on. The Department of Justice isn't going to go after that. And Nancy Pelosi doesn't care anything about the Biden crime family, yet she's going after Trump once again. Well, now, what are they? They've already done two impeachments against him. They're going after him again and again.
Unbelievable. Well, Congresswoman Lesko, thank you for your input on that. We are going to be unfolding more of this for our viewers and listeners as the program goes on. But now that I have you, I'd like to, if we can, switch gears a little bit to the southern border. I know this is an issue that you have personally been involved with greatly, as with others of your colleagues. But the border crossing jumped, the illegal crossings last month jumped 30%. And that's according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection data itself. This is incredible. And, of course, it's your state that seems to be taking the brunt of it. Can you share with us what's going on there right now?
Yeah, well, as you know, Jody, because you used to be in Congress, the Biden administration wants an open border. All of their policies, everything they do, all they're trying to do is have the Customs and Border Patrol office act like travel agents and process all these illegal people coming over the border. The thing that really worries me is all the gotaways, meaning the people that are caught on camera or with sensors that are running away from the Border Patrol. And, you know, it's so easy for people to come over the border and claim asylum so that they can get into the country. So these people that are trying to evade the Border Patrol, they must have a criminal history in the United States. That's why they're trying to evade them. So basically, the Biden administration has turned over almost complete control to the cartels. And so here in Maricopa County, which is the Phoenix metropolitan area in Arizona, we had a 5,000% increase in fentanyl deaths since 2015. And it's because all of the drugs coming over the border. The other thing that is really sad is that our own government is not vetting the sponsors where they're sending the thousands of unaccompanied children to. There was a home in Texas, Austin, Texas, that had 100 unaccompanied children. And a New York Times article just recently said how so many of these children are working full time. They're minors, 12, 13 years old, working full time to pay off the cartels and to pay off these corrupt sponsors that our own government is not vetting. In fact, Secretary of Health and Human Services Becerra was in front of the committee that I served on. And I said, in Washington, D.C., there's dog and cat foster regulations. Like, if you want to adopt a dog or cat in Washington, D.C., you have to be interviewed and have a home inspection. Yet, a home inspection is not required at all to bring in an unaccompanied child. There's no FBI background checks. There's no sexual abuse background checks that are required. It's just outrageous.
It is outrageous. That's unbelievable, and information I was not aware of there. Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, thank you so much for standing in the gap on so many of these issues. As I said, as you came on, I know you've got your plate full, both at home and in Washington, D.C., and hats off to you for keeping the torch ablaze. We're extremely grateful. Thank you for joining us this evening on Washington Watch. God bless you.
You can find out more about Debbie Lesko when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And to learn more about current news of the day, avoid the mainstream media and instead read the Washington Stand. You can find a link for our new site at TonyPerkins.com.
This fall, believers from across America will gather in our nation's capital. We'll hear from government leaders, policy experts, and leading Christian voices, learning how we can engage in government at every level, from local school boards to state legislatures to Congress and even the White House, to win back the soul of our nation. Join with us for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, Believe and Engage, September 15th through 17th. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In addition to having Debbie Lesko on the program on Thursday to talk about the Trump indictment, we were also joined by the founder of the Article 3 Project, Mike Davis. Article 3 is the section of the Constitution that deals with the powers of the judiciary. Here's Jody Heiss as he introduces our guest.
Welcome back to the program. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me back on.
Well, it's always an honor. So let's just get started with a little background, specifically regarding Jack Smith. What do we know about this special counsel?
Jack Smith is the political hitman who Democrats sent in to take out Republican presidential contenders, like Jack Smith did before 2016 with former governor, former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, a likely presidential or vice presidential candidate. Jack Smith was the head of Obama's public integrity section at the Justice Department at the time, and he brought these bogus corruption charges against then Governor McDonnell. He won a conviction and took him out of the presidential and vice presidential race before 2016. The Supreme Court ultimately reversed Jack Smith 8-0. It would have been 9-0, but Justice Scalia passed away. It is very hard to have a criminal conviction overturned by the Supreme Court. It is nearly impossible for that to happen unanimously. But Jack Smith, the Democrats' Scud missile launched to take out President Trump, managed to do this with Governor Bob McDonnell before 2016. And the Democrats, Biden, Garland, and Jack Smith are running the same play again for President Trump in 2024. They're trying to indict President Trump for the non-crime of, Alvin Bragg indicting Trump for the non-crime of a businessman settling a nuisance claim, the first indictment of a former president in U.S. history. Jack Smith waited 29 months after President Trump left office to indict President Trump for the non-crime of a former president having his presidential records, which is allowed by the Presidential Records Act. Now Jack Smith, all of these with Merrick Garland and Joe Biden's green lighting, has indicted President Trump, again, this time for the non-crime of a presidential candidate objecting to a presidential election, which is allowed by the Electoral Count Act of 1887, and twisting arms politically is allowed by the First Amendment. This is Democrat lawfare against President Trump because Democrats fear they cannot beat Trump on November 7th, 2024.
Wow. Well, what a historical background right there that you've laid out for us. You know, it's so many things come to my mind while you're talking about this, Mike. I think of how in the world do people like Jack Smith, how do they get in the positions where they're in? And how do we reverse all this as a nation? We'll get to that in a little bit. But right now, what does this mean for our justice system in America? Where is all of this going, do you think?
I think President Obama changed everything when he politicized and weaponized the Justice Department with Eric Holder. They hired Jack Smith back then. Jack Smith's wife was a producer of Michelle Obama's documentary. Jack Smith's wife donated $1,000 to Obama's campaign, and voila, Jack Smith becomes the chief of the public integrity section at the Justice Department. And it's just part of a pattern by the Democrats, starting with Obama, to politicize and weaponize our justice system and our intel agencies to protect their friends and to go after their political enemies. We saw this in 2016 when Hillary Clinton got caught with her illegal home server with our nation's most classified secrets hacked by our worst enemies, including probably Russia, and she destroyed this evidence in the face of congressional subpoenas. And so what did they do? They made up the Russian collusion hoax against President Trump. And so if this hacked material comes out from Russia before the 2016 campaign, Hillary and the Democrats can falsely claim that Trump was colluding with the Russians and running an intel operation on Hillary Clinton. In 2020, Joe Biden got caught with Hunter Biden's laptop from hell, evidencing the Biden's foreign bribery and corruption schemes, tens of millions of dollars to every single Biden except for the five-year-old granddaughter who Joe Biden and Jill Biden didn't acknowledge for 5 years until recently. So what did the Democrats do? They had 51 former intel officials corruptly lie and say that this was a Russian disinformation campaign, this Hunter Biden laptop. Got the New York Post, America's oldest newspaper, censored by big tech platforms, got Americans censored for posting the story of the New York Post. And here we are again in 2024. They're going to interfere with this election again. Our law enforcement and intel agencies are going to interfere in this election again by politicizing and weaponizing the justice system to go after Trump for non-crimes. While they're covering up Biden's foreign bribery, Biden's corruption, he is clearly compromised as the president of the United States, and they're going to try to go after Trump and throw him in prison for his fight with Biden's librarians and other bureaucrats over records Trump is allowed to have and over disputing a presidential election.
All right, so let's go down this a little bit further. Our average viewer listener right now is kind of wondering, okay, I can vote, but what else can I do here? I mean, what really are your expectations as to what's going to happen? You've alluded to it, but just hit on what are the expectations and what are your hopes that what's going to happen? What are your expectations? And what can people do right now to engage in whatever way that they can?
So I would say this, there is no chance that President Trump is going to get a fair trial in Washington, D.C. You have this Garland special counsel, Jack Smith, who has a track record of being a partisan hack, a lawless partisan hack. You have this Obama judge, Tanya Chutkan, in D.C., who is a leftist. She was a former public defender, but apparently she only cares about people in D.C. who carjack, rob places, and murder people, because she has shown with January 6th that she is one of the most harsh judges of them all for the January 6th protesters. And you're going to have a D.C. jury that's 95% Democrat and 99% Trump deranged. And so there's no chance that Trump's going to get a fair trial in D.C. He will be found guilty. It's lawless. The judge will convict him. The D.C. circuit will almost certainly affirm the conviction because Obama transformed the D.C. circuit to all these left-wing radical judges. And so this is going to have to be resolved legally by the Supreme Court. There is no doubt in my mind that the Supreme Court will reverse this criminal conviction, all of these criminal convictions, because they're lawless. But again, we have something between now and the Supreme Court, and that's called the 2024 presidential election. And so the American people need to register to vote. They need to make sure their friends and family members are registered to vote. They need to make sure that they're voting. In the meantime, House Republicans need to step up their game. This is lawfare by Democrats. It's a zero-sum game. When Democrats are on offense, which they have been since August, since the Mar-a-Lago raid a year ago, that means they're not on defense. And so House Republicans need to put these people on defense. They need to start having oversight hearings. They need to start subpoenaing witnesses and documents. They need to open an impeachment inquiry against President Biden for his clear corruption. They need to open an impeachment inquiry against Attorney General Merrick Garland for his clear cover-up of his boss's corruption. Republicans need to get tougher now. They need to start taking off the gloves and punching back.
Well, I think they are in process of that, but I agree it needs they need to step up the game. The testimony of Devin Archer, former business partner of Hunter Biden, what's your take on that?
I think that Devin Archer's testimony is devastating for President Biden because it shows that President Biden was absolutely involved in the Biden crime family's foreign bribery and corruption schemes, their business. And President Biden lied about this repeatedly to the American people. This is impeachable conduct by Joe Biden, and House Republicans should move forward with impeachment. A lot of the American people are not hearing about this because the mainstream, meaning liberal media, is not reporting this. But an impeachment inquiry would force the mainstream media to report on Joe Biden's obvious corruption. This is so much bigger than Trump or Biden. You cannot have a president of the United States who is compromised by foreign bribes and other corruption. It leads to very bad things in this country. Joe Biden has taken tens of millions of dollars. Joe Biden and his family have taken tens of millions of dollars from Ukraine and China. Those are the two biggest trouble spots in the world right now, with Russia and Ukraine and China and Taiwan. And when you have a weak, compromised president, our enemies exploit it, like Russia is doing in Ukraine right now.
Well, it sounds like you would disagree with the Democrats who are saying this whole testimony was a nothing burger.
A nothing burger that then Vice President Joe Biden participated with 20 phone calls with his, 50-year-old corrupt drug addict son's foreign business dealings, lied about it, went to meetings, went to dinners. There's evidence that the Bidens took $3.5 million from the Moscow oligarch, tens of millions of dollars from China, $10 million from Burisma, foreign bribe, where Biden threatened to cut off $1 billion in U.S.
aid. We're going to have to leave it there.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Mike. Great to have you.
Thanks for your work at Article 3 Project. Keep it up.
You can find out more about Mark Davis and the Article 3 Project when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access this series at frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday of this week, it was revealed that Fitch Ratings, one of the big three credit rating agencies, downgraded America's debt rating from AAA to AA+. How will this impact the economy, and what will it mean for the American people? Well, joining guest host Jody Heiss on Wednesday to discuss it was Dr. Dave Bratt, Dean of the School of Business at Liberty University.
Dr. Bratt, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be on with my favorite congressman. Thanks, Jody.
Well, listen, you have a lot of fans at FRC. I can tell you that for sure.
Right.
All right. Let's begin with just the basic, the groundwork. What can you tell us about Fitch Ratings and the debt rating system as a whole?
Yeah, well, I think everyone's reading the headlines. The rating agencies are not to be taken seriously, right? They missed the entire 2007-08 financial crisis. They were never serious. They should have probably been sued for dereliction of duty, et cetera. And so now they're finally coming in late. I mean, the idea that no one knows that we're going to be $50 trillion in debt in 10 years when it's posted on CBO, you know, what took you so long? And just so everybody knows, the current federal funds rate, the Federal Reserve interest rate is 5%. And 5% of $50 trillion in debt is $2.5 trillion in just interest payments alone. And so we're sunk, right? And the idea they posted that Medicare's insolvent in 10 years, Social Security's insolvent in 10 years, shocker, you know, you and I and anybody that has a conscience has been reporting that for years to save the kids' future. And so, you know, now they're, you know, it's all political, left versus right. But the most important thing is productivity in this country has been down 40 years in a row. And that's not me, right? That's the leading expert in economics on productivity at Northwestern University, Robert Gordon, if people want to, you know, get serious about the issue. And so we're on the wrong course. You're not going to grow your way out of this. We have serious choices to make. The Republicans just went in with the Democrats on a $7 trillion budget this year and next year. It's a COVID budget where we sent checks to everybody without COVID. Right. It was $5 trillion. Then they jacked it to $7 because we're in an existential crisis, I guess, you know, of our government's causing because they shut down the economy. But now we're just continuing this spending charade. And I think, you know, just as well as me, that's what's going on here.
Well, and it's frightening. And, you know, just to be very honest with you, absolutely what you're talking about with the COVID spending was insane. Yep. What kept coming and coming and coming. And I know many of us were opposed to those kinds of things. But even here recently, the unlimited debt ceiling increase that many Republicans supported, that's part of the problem as well, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's just shocking. And, you know, these views are just my own, but anybody that voted for that should be given a real good explanation of why they're doing that. They put our country in a tremendously bad place. And the American people are starting to wake up a little bit, right? The stock market is going to react here, but we're in for probably a lost decade. As I said, when productivity's down, and, you know, the leading cause of economics is capital accumulation. China has way more capital to work with than the United States of America. And now human capital, the kids in K-12 education, how are we doing there in all the cities across the country? We're not producing human capital, training our kids in the sciences and engineering, computer science, IT, artificial intelligence. We're way behind the curve, and we got some major work to do.
All right, so let me ask you this. Bottom line, this thing has come out. How does this downgrade affect everyday Americans? What is it going to mean for not only the national debt, but what's it going to mean for interest rates? What's it going to mean for the U.S. economy as a whole? What's it going to mean to American families? And, you know, what needs to happen for the debt rating to be upgraded?
Yeah, well, the people that follow, you know, this economic stuff, the BRICS countries, right, the Brazil, China, India, that's the shocker. They're all forming a new, reserve currency to challenge the U.S. dollar. This rating news puts further downward pressure on the United States of America. And so it makes the cost of our investments more, right? Treasuries, et cetera. We're going to have to work harder to attract investments in the U.S. Treasury. It's still the safest place to put your money, right? No one's going to put their money in China unless the BRICS, which they're threatening, is a gold-based currency with a technological solution, blockchain, that gives people absolute privacy and a record of all transactions. If they come in with both a gold-based foundation and absolute technological security, they can leapfrog us because there's no securities issues, right? No one's worried about the Chinese yuan, the renminbi, et cetera. They're going to say, hey, I got blockchain and it's based on gold. I'm fine. Then the United States of America, we're going to be in for some deep troubles for the next decade.
Well, only 30 seconds or so left, and thanks so much for your incredible insight. But just in real quickly, what can be done, if anything, to try to put the U.S. back on the road to fiscal responsibility?
Yeah, well, the Congress needs it's appropriation season. So McCarthy needs to grab the bullhorn. He promised he would. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't heard anything from Republican leadership about curbing the spending. And then the Congress Financial Services Committee has to put an end to this digital currency piece, which is going through at warp speed by the Federal Reserve System. Congress can block it in 5 seconds. It's under Article 1. And so there's concrete steps.
Going to have to wrap it up there. Dr. Dave Bratt, Dean of the School of Business, Liberty University, former congressman, great friend. Thank you so much for joining
us, Tony,
on Washington Watch. God bless you as well, my friend.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.